Well, the story goes that a Native American and his friend were walking in downtown New York City, near Times Square in Manhattan. It was about noon, the lunch hour, and the streets were packed with people. There were cars honking their horns, taxi cabs squealing around corners, sirens wailing. The sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly, the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't hear a cricket in all this noise." He goes, "No, I'm sure of it. I heard a cricket." "I don't believe you." Well, the Native American listened carefully for a moment and then walked across the street to a big cement planter where there were some shrubs growing. He looked there beneath the branches. Sure enough, he found a small cricket. His friend was amazed. He said, "That's incredible. You must have superhuman ears." He said, "No, my ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." And the friend said, "That can't be. I could never hear a cricket in this noise." His other friend replied, "Yes, it's true. It depends on what's important to you. Here, let me demonstrate." So he reached into his pocket and he took out a few coins and he dropped them on the sidewalk. And pretty soon, everyone everywhere was looking to find out where those coins were coming from. "See what I mean," said the man. "It depends on what's important to you." Well, that's a really interesting thought. You know, we live in a noisy world, and a lot of times we have no choice in it. There's road noise, there's other people's car stereos, there's airplanes overhead, garbage trucks, there's light fixtures buzzing, machinery, my neighbor shooting things, people talking. But there's a lot of noise that we do have a choice in what we listen to. We have power over which radio station we listen to, as well as the volume. The movie we go to, we can make a decision on. The conversations we stick around for, and the people we choose to associate with. When it comes to your ears, what is important to you? What do you listen for and to? What do you let in your ears? In the past number of years, we've heard a lot about axes of evil. In World War II, it was Germany, Italy, Japan. 20 years ago, it was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, and it still sort of is in some ways. But you know, Ephesians 2 talks about another kind of axis of evil. It says, "You used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world." It goes on to say, "All of us were like that, following the passion, desires, and inclinations of our sinful nature." You may have heard of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that's where that comes from. But you know, there's another axis of evil, and that can be our eyes, our ears, and our mouth. And that is going to be a lifelong fight. We're doing a short series on see no evil, you know, speak no evil, hear no evil. Why? Well, as we talked about last week, because evil is not good for you. It doesn't please God, and it doesn't make for human flourishing. The Bible does say a lot about avoiding evil. In Romans, it says, "Be wise or excellent at what is good and innocent of evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Turn from evil and do good. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." In 3 John, we're admonished, "Dear friends, do not imitate what's evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." In 1 Thessalonians, "Avoid every kind of evil." Our goal should really be described like Job. We read in Job chapter 1, "In the land of Uz, there was a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." That doesn't mean he was perfect, because no one is perfect. But as a whole, if you just looked at the character of his life, he was seeking to please God. Well, this past Thursday Bible study, and anyone's always able to join us either Thursday night at Ramsey's or at 11 o'clock at Carol's, we looked at Galatians 1. It talks about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Well, we're supposed to avoid evil, but what is evil? And I did give some definitions last week, and I'll give you a few more. Evil is the disturbance of the divinely appointed harmony of the universe. It's what makes things go wacky. Disorder in the moral world. It's the failure of rational beings to conform to the character and conduct of the will of God. It expresses a shortcoming or inferiority of a thing. and the ethically negative or religiously destructive character or thought. That's kind of a mouthful. My practical definition is evil is whatever takes you away from God and down a bad road. How about that? Simply put, evil means bad, wickedness, destructive, damaging, filthy, or sick. And we are to avoid all those things to the best of our ability with God's help. You know, we don't have total control over what comes in our ears. Our neighbors and others just don't make it possible. But I do hope you have some suggestions on how to control what goes in your head that you do have power over. Well, we found out last week that when God created our bodies, he made our eyes and he said, this is good. Well, he also made our ears good. And, you know, believe it or not, I looked in the Bible and there's a lot of things that people did with their ears. But I wouldn't necessarily say the Bible endorses them as being biblical. One thing you can do is you can pierce them as a sign of being a bond slave. You can put earrings in them. If you're Peter, you can cut them off. Not recommended. You can listen with them. You can put blood on them during a sacrifice. You can give them to listening to Jesus. Use them to understand. If you're a shepherd, you can save a piece of a sheep's ear from the lion's mouth. And if they're made of corn, you can eat them. But in the original design, God made our ears perfect. But you know, ever since Adam and Eve, they've been going downhill. And we are to be good stewards of them, though, and protect them. My dad was really good about protecting our ears. If the neighbor was outside with a chainsaw, he'd make us go in the house. You know, he'd never take a shooting without ear protection. And he was a good example. So when he mowed the lawn, he'd have his big earmuffs on. And I do that, too. And in fact, we have a pair hanging on the lawnmower. Well, I did take a lot of steps to protect my ears. And I take earplugs wherever I go, partially so I can sleep. Unfortunately, now, these days, my wife needs earplugs so she can sleep. But that's another story. You know, even vacuuming, I'll wear them sometimes. You know, and if you go, why would you need to do that? It's because you can't hear anymore. Unfortunately, with age, I'm having hearing issues. But, you know, we need to protect our ears from evil. But how do we hear evil? Well, there's lots of ways, unfortunately. We can hear filthy language in TV programs and movies, listen to evil on the radio. You know, it might just not just be the music lyrics, it might be talk radio. Even the news can be really bad. Maybe you buy music with bad words or content. There's those dirty jokes people tell. Maybe sticking around to hear the latest rumors or gossip, or maybe we just condone swearing because we don't say anything about it. Some of us have friends with very limited vocabularies, and they're not always good to hang around either. The question is, how do you use your ears for evil? You don't have to volunteer and tell me, but because I can imagine, but how do your ears get you in trouble? And what's your area of weakness? What do I struggle with? Well, sometimes I want to know the latest news, so I'll listen to the news or the nutty cultural trends, and that's not always bad in itself. But guess what it does? It worries and distracts me, or makes me get cynical and sarcastic and grumpy. That is far from listening to whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Yeah, I would not recommend listening to the 10 or 11 o'clock news. Not a good way to go to bed. You know, sometimes I'm tempted to hear people bilge on others. You know, you ask a question from a certain person because you know you'll get a mouthful. That used to happen with my barber. Hey, what do you think about this? Whoa, and then it was off to the races for the next 45 minutes. But that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, just this last week, I was doing something in the house, and all of a sudden I had this 80s chorus pop in my head. Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I mean, where did those long-lost, lousy, lustful lyrics come from? They just were leaping out of my larynx, and I was going, and all of a sudden I stopped myself and said, that is not something good to be saying. I hadn't heard that song in forever. And I said, oh, Lord, please get that garbage out of here. Part of the problem is I don't know what half of those songs were saying, and so I'll hum along, and my wife will go, do you know what you're singing? I'm going to be like, oh, when I find out. But anyway, I went to a lot of 80s movies, and back then they're all PG, but wow, there's a lot of stuff in there. Hey kids, you want to watch Back to the Future? Yowzer. Michael J. Fox talked to Jesus or mentioned our Lord three times in the first 5 minutes of the show, and he wasn't praying. Bad news. You know, I remember as a kid, I really tried to avoid movies with sex and nudity, but I thought, I can handle the violence and the bad words. I mean, I go to public school after all. Well, guess what? What goes in will come out. You know? And all that evil I took in my ears comes out when I don't want it to now. I hate it. And it'll pop out and I'll repent within like a quarter second. But that's a quarter second. That's about 3/8 of a second too late. And, you know, I wish Bible verses would come out just as fast. You know, I hit my hand with the hammer or the wrong button on the computer, and I wish I'd say Shekinah glory or something like that. Instead, that's just not what happens, and it's horrible, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it happens as I struggle, but what you put in is going to come out. We got to be careful what we listen to. Gossip, lies, slander, filthy jokes and words, negativity. Those things, incidentally, have to do with someone's mouth and someone's ears. Why did he give us ears? Well, so we could listen to him and his truth. So we could hear his word and his creation, the birds, the water, the wind, hear people's voices, laughs and cries and everything else, so that we could listen to encouragement and truth and rebukes and good advice. A right use of the ears is to listen. Like the proverb says, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. In Proverbs 2, we're told, turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. It's been said, wisdom is the ability to keep your mouth shut while your mind continues to talk to itself. Never think about that? In Scripture, listening to God involves understanding and application as well as physically hearing. We're told in Exodus 15, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, keep his decrees, I'll not bring on you all the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. Psalm 95, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Isaiah 51, hear me, you who know what's right, you people who have the law in your heart. And of course, James 1:22, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. You know, I am talking about that physical process of sound waves coming into your ear canal and hitting those bones where they hammer, anvil, and something else. And actually then the message vibrates and gets to your brain. But it is interesting, Jesus talked about metaphorical hearing too. He says, whoever hears my words and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He also said, "Hear, he who has ears, let him hear." It's kind of like, but what he's meaning by that is when, remember when your mom and dad would holler at you when you weren't doing the right thing? Don't do that again. Do you hear me? What they really meant was not just perceive with your ears, but actually go, oh, that wasn't a good idea. I should not do that again. You know, there's also something we can do with our ears, such as listening to others. That's really a means of ministry, to listen to people. You ever had a no good, terrible, horrible day and you pour out your heart to someone and someone listened? They didn't just listen to respond or to tell you what to do. They simply listened because they cared. That is a wonderful part of weeping with those who weep. You know, Job's friends really had it right when they sat with him for those first 7 days and they kept their mouth shut. They got in trouble when they started talking. I know in my family, when I start giving unsolicited advice, when I really should be listening, I'm the one that ends up in trouble. You know, husbands know, your wives know when you're actually paying attention. They don't really want you to solve their problems. They know what to do. They just want to know you care. And it would be wise to heed what they're saying. President FDR once decided to try an experiment to see if anybody was listening what he was saying. It was one of those fancy White House dinner reception lines, and all the guests and the dignitaries from foreign lands were filing through. And as each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed his big smile and he'd say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people would respond with a comment like, oh, how lovely, or keep up the good work. And he just kept doing it, and nobody listened except one foreign diplomat. And you can kind of picture this guy with a little mustache and beady eyes. And when the president said, I murdered my grandmother this morning, he leaned in and said, I'm sure she had it coming. Well, at least he was listening, though I hope FDR didn't listen to that guy's advice. You know, people say God gave us two ears but only one mouth because we need to spend twice as much time listening as we do speaking. Others say, well, because listening is twice as hard as talking, so I don't know. Listeners, it said, do have the advantage. They know when the speaker should stop. Unfortunately, the speaker seldom does. Oops. I won't go too much longer, I promise. But, you know, there's an example of a guy who did not listen well to good advice in the scripture, King Rehoboam. He was, I believe, the son of Solomon. And he didn't use he was Solomon's son. And it was a time when the north and south were having problems, and the kingdom was really very much on the verge of breaking up. And he needed some good advice. And so the people of Israel said, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he's put on us, and we'll serve you. Rehoboam said, come back to me 3 days. In 3 days, and so the people did, went away. Then Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer the people, he asked. He said, if you'll be kind to them and please them and give them a favorable answer, they'll always serve you. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him, and he went and consulted the young men who'd grown up with him and were serving him. And he said, what's your advice? You know, how should we answer these people who say, lighten the load for us? And these young guys said, tell the people who've said that, my little finger's thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke, I'll make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I'll scourge you with scorpions. So instead of listening to good advice, you listen to the young guys. He enacted these harsh policies, the people rebelled, the kingdom split, and things went all downhill. It's too bad that he hadn't listened to his father and grandfather's advice. Because what had they said in the Proverbs? My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. Like an ear of gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. It's too bad he listened to the wrong folks. So how can we avoid evil? How can we be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil? Well, we need the Holy Spirit. And thankfully, we have him. My idea is talk to him every day. Dear Lord, I'm going to get out of bed in about 2 minutes, and I'm going to need help listening to what is good. The Lord would be pleased to answer that prayer. Maybe check the ratings before you buy music or go to a movie. Maybe turn off the radio. Pay attention to who you're hanging out with. Hang around those who are positive and who will bring you up as opposed to down. If you have nothing you can think of to say, maybe don't call the biggest gossip in town to find out what they have to say. That might not be helpful. Maybe you got to change the conversation. You know, there's people that don't realize how their words will impact you. And in one Illinois town, a judge got creative. There was a young guy running around with his loud, loud hip-hop music on his car stereo. And he was facing a hefty fine, and the judge said, I'll give you a deal. I'll cut your fine by 80% if you listen to Beethoven for 20 hours. Well, he said, sure, okay, that sounds good. But he could only stand 15 minutes of it. He's like, I'll just pay the fine. I can't handle this stuff. The judge was hoping that by expanding this guy's horizons, listening to something he didn't like, that he might be more sensitive to others. But unfortunately, it didn't work, and he had to pay the big fine. I remember a few years ago, Kim told me, would you stop talking? You are saying poison. Ooh, I deserved it. That was convicting. It was true. And I used to have a friend I worked with in Portland City Hall, and I would tease him. He loved to tell dirty stories, and so I'd point to my ear, and I'd say, does this look like a garbage can? Then don't put your trash in it. And he'd start laughing, and then he'd change the topic, which worked well. And I didn't use it as often as I would have liked to have. But, you know, evil in our ears, it makes us sick. It's kind of like a chemical or biological weapon. It explodes in our vicinity. It will affect us. The only safe way is we got to get away from it. I have a little picture I'd like to show you. It says, never wrestle with a pig. You'll both get dirty and the pig likes it. That's what a lot of people say and do, but it's going to have an impact on you. So I'll encourage you, protect your physical ears. use earplugs, turn down the volume, limit your exposure, and protect your spiritual hearing. Be careful what you put in them. As a side note, well, not really a side note, it is important. Jesus had some warnings, because there are a lot of people that say things that we don't, as Christians, need to be aware of. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. He warned us that false prophets would appear and perform great signs to deceive the elect. Colossians tells us, make sure no one deceives you by fine-sounding arguments. I want to warn you to be careful of who you listen to on TV and on the radio that claims to speak for God. There's a lot of great folks, but there's a lot of charlatans. 2 Timothy says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. You know, Dove Radio is a great source of helpful information. You know, I would recommend, if you're like, who should I listen to? Well, folks like Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and Chip Ingram and Greg Laurie and Robert Jeffress and David Jeremiah and Alistair Begg, Tony Evans, John MacArthur, and even Rick Boya and Travis Connick and Greg Spires in Medford. They're all good folks. But I would encourage you, be careful that you just don't take in what's coming in over the airwaves as the gospel truth. Well, a Haitian pastor once told the story to his congregation. He said that a certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man really wanted to buy it, but he was so poor he couldn't afford the full price. So they bargained back and forth, and finally the owner agreed to sell it for half price with one stipulation. He'd retain ownership of one small nail protruding from just over the back of the front door. Well, after several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner wouldn't sell him. So the first owner went out and found the carcass of a dead dog and hung it from the nail he still owned. Soon the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. And the Haitian pastor said, this is what I'm getting at. If we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he'll return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's habitation. You know, that small peg can be in the opening on either side of our head. It could be the eyes or our ears. They're small, but what goes in has a direct pipeline to our mind and our hearts. What goes in will bounce around and come out in our attitudes and our actions and behavior. So let me encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, people, be excellent at what is good and innocent at what is evil. Lord, would you please help us to do the right thing with our ears? Lord, there's lots of garbage out there, and lots of people are really wanting for us to take in what they're saying and promoting and spewing forth. But Lord Jesus, help us to think about what is honoring to you. Help us to make decisions to plug our ears to that which is not helpful. We thank you that you are good, and your words are words of truth and beauty, of goodness and life. In your name I pray, amen.